VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America as we deal with quite an important topic today. The Washington Post recently reported that the coronavirus pandemic is pushing America into a mental health crisis. They indicated that daily doses of death, isolation, and fear has generated widespread psychological trauma. A federal emergency hotline for people in emotional distress registered a more than 1,000% increase in April compared with the same time last year. An online therapy company reported a 65% increase in clients since mid-February. Western Journal reported in the San Francisco Bay Area, it appears suicides and suicide attempts are increasing at an alarming rate. They report that the trauma department chief at John Muir Medical Center in Walnut Creek, north and east of Berkeley and Oakland, said that during the lockdown, doctors at the facility had seen more deaths by suicide than from the coronavirus. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported that even before recent protests and riots took to the streets, that Americans were already facing unprecedented stress, isolation, depression, and fear brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Calls to suicide hotlines have been off the charts. Joining us in discussion on this topic today, we welcome Dr. Ed Bulkley. Ed is a biblical counselor. He's had an extensive counseling ministry, former pastor and speaker on the Return of the Word radio broadcast. He's the author of several books, including Why Christians Can't Trust Psychology, Only God Can Heal the Wounded Heart, and How Big Is Your God? Ed, thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
So, Ed, what I shared in the introduction doesn't paint a very pretty picture, does it?
No, but it's probably accurate to some extent. Normally the media exaggerates some things, but this sounds like it's right on.
One of the matters that many have spoken of is that has sparked such feelings is this aspect of isolation that so many have experienced here in the past many weeks. Certainly God created us as social beings. How do you see this matter of isolation having an impact on the issue of anxiety and depression and even to suicide?
Well, I think it is a real problem with it. It's one of the factors we have seen, and we're talking with people who are troubled by what's going on in our world, and some even have considered suicide, so I don't think it's that far off.
Mm-hmm.
The isolation is, I actually have about 10 reasons that people are considering suicide, and we'll get into those if you have time later on, but that's certainly one of them, is just the feeling of isolation, feeling like they're lonely, rejected, so I think it's right on there.
Suicide normally starts with issues of anxiety and depression, doesn't it?
It's often connected, for sure. I think
Okay. It's
depression itself seems to be one of the triggers, and of course the psychological systems, they want to say that that's a disease, depression is a disease. They say they can measure some of those things in the brain and all, but I would challenge them on that and say possibly there are symptoms that you could consider disease-like, but the question is, did the disease cause the depression or did depression cause the disease? So I'd like to have them think of that a little bit more roundly.
What do you see as some of the leading causes of depression?
Well, I think the wrong focus on circumstances rather than God and His promises. Obviously, I'm talking about believers at this point, but I think the focus on people and their opinions rather than God's view of us. Some focus on their finances or the financial problems that are going on in our country right now rather than God's provision. And some focus more on the enemy rather than the Savior because they just don't see the connection.
Is it possible to keep oneself from going into a depression?
I believe so. I truly do. I mean, we have experienced changes in our life over the last couple of years, and I have to say, retirement's not all it's cracked up to be, so don't rush yourself.
Okay.
But, you know, depression, certainly, it can be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. How can we have victory over depression?
Well, I look at several things that we need to examine when we're thinking about solutions for depression and suicidal thinking, which goes hand in hand. I suggest scriptural information, and as I'm dealing with people in biblical counseling, we always try to point them to God's Word. And scriptural information, filling our hearts and our minds with the truths of God's Word, just as we think of Psalm 119, and he goes on for 176 verses saying, go to God's Word, go to God's Word. And filling our hearts and minds with the truths, like a Philippians chapter 4, is so full of encouragement. Proverbs, Psalms, Job, they're all filled with encouragement if we will go and change our hearts and minds by focusing on him.
Yeah. You had mentioned a listing of reasons why people commit suicide. Let's review that, if you would.
All right. Well, I think about, as I mentioned, the wrong focus, but depression certainly is one of the causes. But you pointed out loneliness, isolationism. I think of rejection. There are many people who feel that they've been rejected by a few friends that they have, or maybe they only don't have any friends now any longer because they're not active in a church or not part of the lifeblood of the church. They feel that they've been abandoned by family and friends. Social media is a great cause of loneliness. They talk about all the friends they've got, and in reality, very few of them have friends. Television, movies, video games, pornography, all these things create loneliness in people's hearts. Then we also see drugs and alcohol as a part of this. Mm. So many times those who have been caught up in this, and they started as young people because it's so cool, and many times they feel initial relief from the problems of their home and all, but then they come into deception, that they're deceived by what they think is peace. Destruction follows. I've talked with young people who are just so troubled by this now because they're caught up in it and they don't know what to do.
Wow. What you're talking about here are just taking down a wrong pathway. Think of Psalm 1, you know, the way that's one that's leading toward destruction and one that's going to lead toward blessing as well. Is this really what we're on? We're at a crossroads, having to make decisions which road we're going to go down?
Absolutely, and that's across the board in churches. Even unbelievers, they come to a crossroad. They have to make decisions. Mm-hmm. But for God's people especially, we have an opportunity. God has given to us the opportunity to live in what I call the circle of God's love, his provision and protection. You remember in Job, where it talks about the hedge that God has placed around Job, and sometimes people talk about, Lord, place a hedge around me. God was protecting him. But they are not understanding that to live in that circle, you have to understand God's sovereignty. You have to understand his mercy and his love. From Romans chapter 8 is so filled with the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful passage. They need to remember his fatherhood, that we're told in Matthew 7, if we are evil, as people know how, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Mm-hmm. So they need spiritual and biblical information to retrain their hearts and their minds.
Yeah, so what you're saying, this really requires the retraining of our thought patterns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the whole issue, is they're thinking wrong thoughts. It's suicidal thinking. It's depressive thinking. And God has given us solutions for these things if we'll only go to him.
Mm-hmm. So often, Ed, many think that nobody really knows what I'm going through at this time. Nobody's experienced, whether it be hurt, whether it be the depression, that's the loneliness, the rejection, the things that you talked about there. Mm-hmm. Are we alone in those thoughts? Has anybody traveled down this road before?
Oh, absolutely. And this is, and I don't want to dismiss the reality of depression. Some say it's not real. Of course it's real. The experience, the feelings are real. But the solutions are from God's Word. And many of the solutions that people are trying, they are not real. They don't provide what is good for their hearts. It doesn't supply a walk of joy in as a Christian. Joy is such a benefit of being a believer in Christ, but they have lost sight of that.
So many that enter into depression or anxiety, or have suicidal thoughts seem to shut themselves out even more from this world. They don't want to open the pages of Scripture. They just want to be all alone and mull in their own thinking here. That's really a pathway that's going to lead to destruction, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, God's Word talks about this. I'm thinking that there are five examples, at least, in Scripture of suicide and the result from depression, but some because of fear, some because of shame in what they have done. We find Saul took his own life, King Saul, in the Old Testament, because he had fear of what was going to happen to him. He was embarrassed about what he had done and what he had become. We find in 2 Samuel 17 a story of failure where the one who advised the king's son, who was so vicious in him, and he tried to do away with his father, Ahithophel, who was the advisor, was rejected, and so he went to his home. He hanged himself as a result of the embarrassment and the failure. We find fear of sinful actions and behavior, even though they go ahead with it, it produces fear in their hearts. And we find this in 1 Kings 16, where a king kills himself in a fire. He sets fire to his city. His name is Zimri, and he kills himself. We find guilt and shame. Judas in Matthew, he kills himself. He hangs himself because of the guilt in his heart of betraying Jesus, the shame that followed. And we find it's a very ugly scene where he kills himself, and it's just very, very large description of it in Acts chapter 1, verse 18. Disgusting description of it, and it's just because of the guilt and the shame.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, incorrect thinking, that's one of the things I want to emphasize to people, that most of this comes from incorrect thinking, unbiblical thinking, not understanding God's love and his care for us.
So how do we change our thought patterns?
Well, it's not an easy thing. I'm working with a young lady who, she may be listening to the program today, I hope so. She's a sweet gal who I believe really wants to change. And it's going to take, in her case and in most cases, it takes a real decision. That's the first step. I'm going to do this. I've decided I'm going to put in the effort and the work and the study to make a change in my life. And then it has to do with self-discipline. It has to do with accountability. And that's one thing a church can provide, that a therapist really, he can try to provide accountability, but it's not the same that you can do in a church. So accountability, and then looking at it in the long term, that this is not going to be solved usually in an hour or one session or two, but it's going to take retraining your mind, establishing new habits, new friendships, new behaviors.
Hmm. Not an easy road, but a very necessary road.
It's not an easy road, and life is not easy in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
God never promised that it would be easy, but it's much easier when we walk with Him. And God gives us the tools through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. If we know Jesus as Savior, we have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And it's a joy that He works with us in that way.
Dr. Ed Bulkley, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Indeed, God's Word provides everything necessary for life and godliness. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how much can scientists tell about an animal from its fossils?
Chris, they can tell quite a bit, but oftentimes they claim too much. Let me give you an example. Recently, a few fragments of teeth were found in Morocco of a mammal no bigger than a small dog, but the evolutionary discoverers claim that it was of a small elephant. Evidently, the molars were more similar to elephant molars than anything else. But they didn't stop there. They claim that this particular elephant didn't even have a trunk, and that he hid in trees and hunted at night. Cut me some slack. How can they tell this from a few tooth fragments? Now, I'm not sure what this animal was, but I'm quite certain you can't look at a tooth and know all that. Evolutionists should stop telling evolutionary stories and get back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Biblical counselor Ed Bulkley with us here today on the program. We're talking about anxiety, depression, and suicide hitting a nation. And some of the numbers that have been reported in the media have been skyrocketing in this regard. And today we're addressing this issue and how to deal with it, but understanding where it's coming from and the fact that we don't need to stay in this, this state of deep depression. Certainly there is victory that's found. It's found in God's Word, the Bible, and pointing that out here today on the broadcast. Dr. Bulkley, what indeed is the link between depression and suicide?
Well, it seems to be very intimately connected. Few people just step out to commit suicide because they're bored. Most of them are because they have some incident in their life, a feeling of failure, rejection. We mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. Is a real component with it. Drugs, alcohol, that seems to be a trigger for some. But I would suggest to people that believing the lies of Satan is one of the great triggers for not only depression, but for suicide.
What do you mean by that, given the lies of Satan here?
Advice from the ungodly. They're the therapists who don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. They think that everything is chemical. And so you have to have drugs. That's, in my opinion, is believing the lies of Satan. I am not suggesting, by the way, I have to be so careful, I'm not suggesting that all therapists or, indeed, psychiatrists and psychologists, I'm not suggesting that they're trying to harm people. I think they really believe in what they're doing, and I believe many of them are very compassionate. But I think because they don't have the ability to go to God's Word, that's not at the foundation of their belief system, that ultimately all of us can be tricked by Satan. I don't care if you're a pastor or if you're a psychiatrist or if you're a medical doctor or if you're a bum on the street. I believe all of us can be deceived by the lies of Satan. Humanistic therapies, I think, are a great lie. The political promises that are given, they say, this will solve your problem. We'll send you all some money. That'll solve your problem. But we've already found out that doesn't work.
Right.
The money somehow, the whole idea of money will solve your problems. If we just spread out the money across America to everyone, our problems will be solved. That's a lie of Satan.
Lots of lies of Satan. Other causes that come to your mind as to why people are depressed or why they commit suicide?
Yes, fear. Mm-hmm. I think this COVID-19, people are afraid mm-hmm. that they might get it. They're afraid of death itself. People are afraid of war. I honestly believe that America could be in not only a civil war, but certainly a war from outside as well, and people are afraid of that, of being tortured, of being maimed, fear of crime, a fear of the marchers coming into your city, the betrayal that someone might have. I think people are terrified of that betrayal and being dishonored, and so they live in fear. Shame is a major problem. Shame because of failure in their job or in their marriage. Poor work habits give them shame as well. Lying and being caught, that can produce shame. Being immoral in your lifestyle and being caught, the shame of that. Pornography, that produces, I think, shame even in unbelievers in many ways. Criminal behavior, that can produce shame and consequences. Divorce itself can produce great shame. So I see that as a problem. Hopelessness is a major problem. If people have slandered your life, if they've gossiped about you, there's the sense of how do I change that? How do I overcome that? And the truth is, you may not be able to overcome it. Slander is insidious, and God hates it. Mm-hmm. But a person can have a hopeless feeling like, well, no one will ever believe me again. No one will ever trust in me. And that's not necessarily the case. That can be another lie from Satan. False accusations can bring hopelessness. Divorce itself. My heart goes out especially to single mothers who are trying their best to supply for their children. Now they've been abandoned or divorced. I mean, there's that sense of hopelessness, the financial pressures, life-dominating sins, whether it's pornography or alcohol or drugs, that can produce it. And another major one, Jim, is physical suffering, pain, disfigurement, blindness, amputation. There's a sense of such loss, and that can happen in a number of ways, but physical suffering, my heart goes out to those who are truly suffering. And if it were not for the fact that we believe that there is a heaven to gain and that God has, he is our sovereign, he has chosen to work in our lives, I can understand why people would say, I'm not willing to go through this anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel badly for them. But I think one of the greatest are the spiritual problems that they're facing, ignorance of God's word. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 22, you're in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. And I'm convinced that's where so much of this is coming from, mm-hmm. disobedience to the commands and principles of scripture. I mean, just take for a second the Ten Commandments. If we were to govern our lives according to the principles of the Ten Commandments, and then the law of love that Jesus laid down, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And if we would obey those things, but we have spiritual ignorance. And then I think about the ignorance of God's character, his mercy, his love, his correction, his discipline. Romans 8 is filled with the character of God. And it's so encouraging. That's why I encourage people, get into God's word. You can mm-hmm. be encouraged today.
Yeah. Ed, as we think about these things, many times people have shame. I don't want to tell somebody else about what I'm thinking, what I'm going through. Comment on that issue, as well as the important role of the pastor and fellow Christians, the church, if you will, in times like these.
Yes. Well, I'm working from a church in the counseling ministry, and people are, many times they will come to a counselor or someone other than their pastor to receive counsel because they're afraid that he will know more about them, and they're saddened about that. But the fact is, pastors who, they love their people, and they want to help, and they're very rarely surprised when you tell them a story. I find it very difficult to be surprised by a counselee. It's happened only a couple of times because dealing with people for over 50 years now, it's difficult to surprise me. So, and when they do tell me something, I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, what a loser here. You know, they need to straighten up. I'm thinking, and I'm praying, Lord, show me how to help this dear person. Because mm-hmm. I see in them the potential for living for the Lord, and you hear the desperation in their voice. And all of us have gone through things like that at one time or another, and we need to love them and not judge them. And so, you know, there are certain times that God calls us to judge within the church, but most time he says, be sure, first of all, you get the log out of your own eye before you take a look at the splinter in your neighbor's eye. Mm-hmm.
Ed, no doubt we have people listening right now who are saying, you know, I'm kind of in that situation right now. Some of the things that you've described here on this program, I am feeling right now. What do I do?
Well, I would suggest that you, first of all, be sure that you're a believer in Christ. That's where I always start with a counselee. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Because until you do, you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your life, which is the greatest resource. The Holy Spirit literally living inside of us can guide us, can convict us, can help us to understand the Scripture. So start with that, and then start to fill your heart and mind with the truths of God's Word. I think of how God has given us His Word to help us to understand His love for us. Philippians chapter 4 tells us what to think about. In verses 4 through 9 and 11 and 13 and 19, it gives us the things to think about, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Think on these things, and ultimately that's a description of the Lord Jesus. Mm. And you go through this. I love this one, Psalm 42, verse 5. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior. My God. And that's like self-counseling. You know, David was asking himself, why are you so downcast? Well, he had some reasons to be, and yet he said, I'm going to trust in God. And that's what we need to do.
Dr. Ed Bulkley, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And friends, if you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. you have a question or a very brief comment today, 800-733-9829. Ed, with all that we've experienced this year of 2020, we know children are also being impacted. I saw a Journal of American Medicine magazine, JAMA Pediatrics. They shared data that showed from a couple communities in China, 22.6% of students in two communities, symptoms of depression, 18.9% of students, anxiety. No doubt numbers like this are happening all over this country. Children have been pulled from school, extending into months, told not to play with your friends, have to have social distancing, burying themselves in the variety of forms of social media that you referred to. What do you say to a parent who notices this increased anxiety or depression in their child?
One of the things that a child needs is security. Through a time like this, he needs to know he is secure in the love of his parents. He's secure that God will provide for them. And that comes from the parents' example. If the parents are at each other's throat, the child definitely doesn't feel secure. If they're constantly talking about, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And not understand that God is our provider and he will see us through this. The children need to hear that. They need to be taught God is sovereign in all of this, and he has promised that he will take care of his children. We are children of God. Let's pray and let's see what God will do in our case. Mm. That's such an encouragement to children.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, so you're saying that the heart attitude, the actions of the parents, even the thought patterns is going to have a definite impact upon their own children.
Absolutely. That's where they're learning it. If they see that we have confidence in God, it gives them confidence in God as well because they're following their parents in many, many ways.
Wow. Our phone numbers, lines are packed here. We're going to begin. Our first caller is from Lindenhurst, Illinois. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Yes, I just have a comment regarding praising God. In the past, you know, the enemy attacks any believer. And in the past, when I had the dark feelings, I would praise God in song. Mm. And in doing so, multiple times, I've had that burden lifted. And that Amen. He inhabits our praises.
Amen. Thank you, Kathleen, for sharing that. Ed, comment on this topic that she brought up on the importance of praising God, even when we don't feel like it.
It is so important, and that's one of the things when we talk about solutions, that's one of the things I actually have written down and things we try to teach people is to praise the Lord. We had a woman that we, years ago, Jim, we did a program, a television program with her on VCY, and she was in constant pain, just constant pain. And I asked her one day, she came in and talked to me. She brought me the medications from the secular therapist to try to deal with her antidepressants. And she said, I don't want to take that. And then I said, well, then what are you going to do? What do you do to receive relief from God? She said, the only time I'm without pain is when I sing to the Lord.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And she did that regularly, and she was such a blessing. She served through her pain, served in the church and the food ministry, and oh my goodness, it was wonderful.
Amen. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back to your phone calls here today on Crosstalk. Dr. Ed Bulkley is with us today. We're talking about anxiety, depression, suicide. It's hit our nation, and in such a time, so many things being compiled in a short period of time. What do we do? How do we handle this? And certainly the importance of getting into God's Word, so critical. We'll be back with more of your calls following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
There is no heartache equal to that of losing a loved one to suicide. Unanswered questions, despair, and perhaps self-blame can leave those behind with feelings of hopelessness. But true hope and help can be found in Christ alone. In the booklet Hope Beyond Despair, author Julie Gossick shares from personal experience how the truth of Scripture and the hope of the gospel can bring comfort to those who are living in the aftermath of suicide. She addresses what the Bible has to say on this issue and provides a lasting hope based on biblical principles. The book Hope Beyond Despair is available from VCY for a donation of $6 or 3 copies for a donation of $15. Just ask for Hope Beyond Despair when you call with your gift at 1-800-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Ed Bulkley is our guest today, and talking about those things that are hitting us. So it's being reported more and more in the media today, and some are feeling it in their churches and their communities. Anxiety, depression, suicides, calls to suicide hotlines have been off the charts. Dealing with these issues today, our lines are packed, but we'll take as many calls as we can. Write down the number. As soon as you hear somebody hang up, it will be your opportunity to call 800-733-9829. We're going to Rob in Alabama. Rob, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to comment, Dr. Welk, I have purchased your books on anxiety and depression. I'm a pastor here in a rural area, and I just wanted to personally thank you. Your books have been an amazing help to me as for myself personally and how I've ministered to my congregation. Mm. So I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you for what you've done. You have really helped me. And others that I've been connected to.
Well, I'll accept that in behalf of the person who wrote the book. I think you mentioned someone else, but that's fine. If he's doing it biblically, I'm all excited about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Andy in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you real quick for taking my call. And I really like your guest today. He's right on target, man, because I come from myself from a divorced home. And I found myself pretty much alone at the age of 13 years old. And I'm from New Mexico. It's one of the poorest states ever. We're like 48th in poverty. Mm-hmm. Unemployment's never been good and stuff like that. But the one thing I do thank is I have a lot of, my whole family's always been Christian. And my uncle, who's a pastor, and I know that even though he didn't tell me, I mean, the prayers that they were going up before God, God heard those prayers. Yeah. And another thing, now I'm not only a father, but I'm a grandfather. And, you know, the one thing I do want to mention is that we've got to entrust and place our kids and our grandkids into the hands of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we need to audibly do it, you know, and place our kids, our grandkids, our loved ones onto the hands of the Lord. And no matter what the situation is, people contemplating suicide, as I did many a times, and God would not prevent it. He would not prevent it.
He would not permit it.
I put a gun to my head one time, and just as I was going to pull the trigger, the Lord sent my friend just at the nick of time. So don't think that the Lord is not a non-time God, because he is. He's right on target, but we need to pray. Don't leave your house every morning. You need to pray to the Lord every night.
Thank you, Andy. Dr. Bulkley, a response here.
You know, that is so true. Our church just came through a 10-day prayer summit where during that time, even online, I mean, we did this on Zoom, there were 40 prayer meetings going on during that time.
Wow.
There were 30 sermons on prayer. And it just, it was a wonderful thing. And we emphasize praying for others for release from fear and praying for ourselves. Lord God, release me from the fear. Release me from the temptations that have come. Give me power to overcome it. Give me wisdom, Father. Give me good friends. Bless my grandchildren, my children. Protect them. Oh, folks, we have such an amazing resource when we go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Andy, for sharing that. And Ed, he talked, too, about the importance of committing our children and our grandchildren before the Lord and how critical that is in such a time as this.
It is. We have 12 grandchildren, and we have prayed for them from the time they were, actually before they were born, that God would bring them to himself, that they would see us in heaven when we're all joined together again around the throne of God. It's my greatest goal, and the one I pray about the most when regarding our children is, oh God, it's not to make them successful in the world, it's to bring them home to him someday.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Darlene, calling from South Carolina. You're on the air, Darlene.
Hi. I was wondering what the connection is between suicide and mental illness, and if it's inherited in families, because we have a lot of that we've had a lot of that in my family on both sides of my parents. And I'll get off the air and wait for the answer. I do have
one other question.
I was just wondering if you could explain what nouthetic counseling is.
Okay.
All right. Be glad
Thank you, Darlene. Thank you.
When it comes to the issue of families committing suicide, there's several in the family. Some people have bought into the idea that this is inherited, that these are generational sins or generational things that take place. And I'm not denying that there is such a thing where people's emotions are involved and they become so distorted, and the world would call it mental illness. I question that diagnosis, but I know what the world is saying with that. And I don't. I would caution people if they're thinking that, okay, I'm destined to do this. If my father committed suicide, I'm probably going to commit suicide.
Mm.
Statistics do not tell you what you are going to do. I know people who have relatives who have committed suicide, and it's never become a temptation for them. Others, it has. And when you focus on what your father did and how horrible it was, and you're worried about it, you're doing it, Satan will use that kind of worry. Instead, we trust in the Lord. We're not going to continue to do that. We're going to break the chain through God's grace. The other question that Darlene had was about New Faith counseling. And there are people call it that. Jay Adams brought out that label, nuthetic. It's from the Greek word nutheteo, which means to confront honestly and gently with the truths of God's word. I prefer to call it genuine biblical counseling because I think most people out in the world will not understand the term nuthetic, and it sounds almost cultic. So I don't use that term, but that's what it means, and I've known people very, very closely who are into what is called nuthetic counseling, and they are genuinely biblical counseling.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Robert is calling from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Robert, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for this topic. Here in Maryland, over the past 5 years, there have been groups have been pushing legislation to have physician-assisted suicide. We've been pushing back on that. I wonder, though, does this not encourage people to commit suicide because they see that the legislation in some of the states in our country permit it? What is your thought on that?
Thank you for the call, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. I think you're right that it does encourage it. I think the social stigma against suicide has been eroded in a large extent, and that was part of God's protection for us. Some say, well, is that the unpardonable sin? And I would say no, that's not the unpardonable sin. But sometimes people think that this is a temporary cure, and it's a permanent decision that they're making. So I would say, please don't accept this idea of assisted suicide, that the doctors are doing a wonderful service. I think it's an amazing thing. Doctors try to keep people who really are ready to go home to be with the Lord, they try to keep them alive as long as they can, and then they turn around in the medical industry and kill babies. Hmm. It just, to me, yeah. It's so ridiculous, these two things. So I would fight against that as best you can, and then the next thing you can do, if it is approved, is to teach people this is not God's way of dealing with problems.
Yeah.
This is God is our sovereign. Our life belongs to Him. He will call us home when He decides.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the call here, Robert. We're taking calls today here on Crosstalk, dealing with issues like anxiety, depression, suicide, whether it's you're facing it, you're dealing with somebody who is. Pick up your phone, give us a call here today, 800-733-9829. We've got a couple open lines here, 800-733-9829 to Crosstalk. Dr. Ed Bulkley, our guest. Let's go next to Pensacola, Florida. We have Don who is calling. Hi, Don, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to thank you for what you're saying. I agree with Ed and Jim, your comments, totally. I just want to say that I'm on top of these darkness, this anxiety, this depression thing, the suicide thoughts. By saturation with the Word of God, the Old King James Bible, I listen to my iBible, mm-hmm. and I read along in my printed text. And main thing, avenue I want to come in here is I started riding my bicycle. I'm too old to run from an hour to an hour and a half a day, about 5 days a week, because I had lost God's presence when I prayed, so I had no motivation to pray. But after this physical exercise and the Word of God, I've got God's presence again. I never lost the assurance of salvation, but I lost God's presence. Hmm. And He's giving me the songs again from Zion, the Psalms and the songs. And it's just so wonderful. I remember a pastor up north said to me, some of you need physical exercise more than you need 3 hours of prayer. And I just want to help some of the people out there. I know I can't help everybody, but...
Well, Don, let me have Ed respond to that. Thank you for the call. Ed?
Thank you, Don. You know, I would say that anything you can do to lead you into prayer with the Lord, I would not say exercise is a substitute for it, or that people need exercise more than they need to pray and to read God's Word. But what I have found is that we can do things such as exercise and pray at the same time.
Hmm.
We can open our hearts to the Lord, and it tells us to pray without ceasing. That means when we're in traffic, we can be praying. Indeed, in Denver now, you need to be praying while you're in traffic, and that's probably true in other places as well. But wherever you are, you can spend time with the Lord in prayer. You can talk to him about your family and talk out loud to him. I love that part. I find that it concentrates my heart and mind when I pray out loud instead of just praying quietly within myself.
Thank you, Don. And Ed, that is something that would keep our mind from wandering too, would it not?
Yes, that's why I find it so helpful. Marla and I, when we have our devotions together, one of the sweetest times we have is hearing each other pray and praying out loud. And by the way, I encourage couples who are having trouble with their marriage, start praying out loud together. You will be amazed at what happens.
Wow. Let's go to McKenzie Park, Illinois, and we have Linda calling in. Hi, Linda, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hello?
You're on the air, Linda. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I just want to share that when I was younger, I had thoughts of taking my own life. Life was no longer worth living for me. I grew up in a Christian home, but yet my dad was, you do it or else. And that, so the thoughts of taking my own life would pop up every so often. And I remember driving home from church one day, and the thought of actually doing something made me shudder, and the thoughts went away.
Mm-hmm.
Until I finally, after the message at church, I went forward during the invitation and went with my dad, and I finally told my dad, and come to find out he had the exact same thoughts I had at the exact same age I was at the time. Mm-hmm. So instead of my dad condemning me, he prayed for me, and I've never had those thoughts since.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so I just want to encourage people to get in the Bible, get in Psalms. That's one of the easiest ones to read. Mm-hmm. And then, too, through the years, I've learned so much more of how to overcome those things. And reflexology is another thing that helps with anxiety, depression. And
well, Linda, we appreciate your call. Ed, she talked about issues like commitment and surrender to the Lord and getting in the Word. So critical.
It is, and that's one of the things we try to share with people about this. If you want freedom from this, we've talked about prayer, but I want to talk to you about the obedience to the commands and principles of Scripture. James tells us, don't be a hearer only, but also a doer of the Word. If you really want to be changed, you've got to obey the commands and principles of Scripture, but you also need to have an accurate way of interpreting Scripture, and that's where a lot of people go wrong. They don't interpret it in an accurate way, realizing that God means it to be taken literally. We're to use his word. And could I also say to you, seek godly, wise advisors, a pastor, a biblical counselor, godly parents and friends.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute for our final segment here today with Dr. Ed Bulkley. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. The destruction of the family. It's been a goal of the cultural Marxist for, well, a few generations now. And why? Because they understand that the family is the incubator for passing on the values that maintain a constitutional republic and our liberties and our freedoms. John Adams understood this on an entry dated June 2nd, 1778. He said, quote, "The foundation of national morality must be laid in private families. How is it possible that children can have any just sense of the sacred obligations of morality or religion if, from their earliest infancy, they learn their mothers live in habitual infidelity to their fathers, and their fathers as constant infidelity to their mothers," end quote. In other words, they understood that the value of right and wrong, the laws of nature and nature's God, the foundation of a constitutional republic, must come from the family.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and we're hitting issues that are certainly been confronted by many, especially in recent weeks, months, and even today, anxiety, depression, and suicide as it's impacting our nation right now. Dr. Ed Bulkley is our guest. He's a biblical counselor, has been in it for decades, and also a former speaker on the Return to the Word radio broadcast, author of several books, and we're taking your calls here today as we continue into our final segment. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio, and we have Jill calling. Hi, Jill, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a granddaughter who's 13 years old, and she's battling with depression. She made a profession of faith a few years ago, but right now she's not living that and almost doesn't even want to talk about God. Right now she's not seeing a counselor, but where could we, and both her parents are not following God either, but they would take a suggestion. If I could find a counselor, they would check into it. So where would you find that? Do you have like a resource where you could find a good counselor?
There are different groups that you can go to. You can go to the, it's called it's Association of Biblical Counselors.
Okay.
And that's I think where you'd find that one. I'm not sure where they're headquartered now. I can get that for you. We can get it there at VCY. But okay. there are several groups that truly are seeking to counsel biblically. I would be very cautious. Not everyone who has the name biblical counselor is doing biblical counseling. In many cases,
right,
they are very compromised,
so
be very careful with that. Could I point out to you a couple of things that you said? One is that a problem with parents, they have far more influence than perhaps anyone else for good and for evil. So take that into account. But one other thing I think impresses children especially and affects them is their friends. And that's why we try to teach parents to help their children choose their friends wisely. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Proverbs 1, verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them." So Proverbs will help you as you go through, especially the first 10 chapters of Proverbs, talks about that danger of having bad friends. And I would guess if she is out in the world at all with public schools and all, that could be part of the problem.
It is. Yes, for sure. Okay, well, thank you a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call here today. Glasgow, Kentucky. Eddie, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. I'd like to say that I'm 66 years old, been saved 32 years. I've read my Bible completely through 17 times. In that Bible, it'll say, "I had fainted lest I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living." In that Bible, it'll say, "Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward." In that Bible, it'll say, "That will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest in your soul. My yoke's easy, my burden's light.
Yeah.
In that Bible, it'll say, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." I just want to tell people, the Bible has the resources for every single issue we have in life. It will supply. And I thank God for my Bible, and I thank God for Crosstalk.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate your call. And, Ed, that's what it is. It's really returning to the Word, isn't it?
It is. That's the key. And I know people say, "Well, that's just so such a glib response." It isn't. This is. It's so important to get them back into God's Word. Right now, in the other room, my wife is counseling a woman who's got some very difficult situations in her life. Her husband has Alzheimer's, and so what she's doing is she's teaching her God's Word. That's what she's going over, how to know Jesus is Savior, how to grow in Him, and she's having a real ministry with her, and I praise God for that.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Eddie. David in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Ed, it's been years, and thank you for all that you've done to present the Word of God as really the only hope. And it says, like in Psalm, the first Psalm, do not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. I just want to tell you one experience. When I first got saved, I was working in West End, Wisconsin, as an AODA supervisor for the county, but it was an inpatient mental health unit where we also did the detox. And we had team meetings, and there was one man, a young man about 21, married, suicidal, was about to take his life, maybe with a shotgun or something, and
he was in there, and they said he did the unpardonable sin. Well, they didn't know what that meant, mm-hmm. and they asked my take on it. I told them he thinks that he can't get forgiven by God. And period. So after that meeting, I'll just be brief, I went to that young man's room and asked what happened. He didn't share the gospel with someone, and the devil was beating him up that he did the unpardonable sin. I got the truth to him. And then I said, God inhabits the praise of his people. So I said, start praising, you know, lift up your hands. He was totally set free. I see him a year later. He came up and thanked me, mm-hmm. and they wanted to put him down as schizophrenic or something, but totally set free by the word of God. Yeah. Also, the PTSD veterans.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to have to leave it there, David, because we're about out of time. But Ed, comment on this aspect, because there are so many, and you warned about this earlier, just turning to medications, turning to pills and chemicals, rather than dealing with some of the heart issues here.
I don't want to create another situation of guilt in people's hearts because they're on psych meds, but I have to tell you, that's not the solution. In many cases, it'll trap you and it will not help you. I encourage you to go to God's Word. Mm-hmm. Have someone who knows God's word take you into scriptures to deal with the particular problem you're facing. You'll find more help through that than you will through chemicals.
Thank you, David, for the call. We're going to squeeze Robert in Glendale. You're on the air, Robert.
Thank you, Brother Jim. And Brother Ed Bulkley, is so good to hear your voice. Haven't heard you for years. You used to be on here about noon, I think it was. Last time I talked to you, you asked me what I was doing. I was practicing my rapture drills, if you recall that brief conversation.
Robert, we got 30 seconds. Do you have a question?
Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
There it is, right there.
Great. Amen.
Transforming our minds.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
That's it. Right. Amen.
Thank you, Robert, for your call. Ed, what do you want to leave with our listeners here today?
I want them to understand that God has provided for us everything. You mentioned that verse before. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. There's nothing he's left undone. If we will go to his word, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and allow other saints of God to come alongside, we will find more help through those things than anything the world can provide.
Mm-hmm. God bless you. Thank you, Ed, for being with us here on the program. And just hold the line here if you would. But thank you for carving the time out to join our listeners.
Absolutely.
Dr. Ed Bulkley with us here today. And folks, perhaps you've learned something through this program. Share a link with this program with others. Maybe you know those going through anxiety or depression, have been feeling suicidal. Let's go back to the Word of God and find the hope and the help that's available. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.